Here we are. Here I am. Praise the Lord. Boy, the Lord is good. I mean, He is so good. Happy Mother's Day. You might say, I'm not a mother. Well, you weren't born on Christmas either, but I'd say Merry Christmas to you. So happy Mother's Day. Oh, praise God for Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like here the last several weeks, months, everywhere I look in the Bible, I see Jesus. And I believe that is good. I believe it's what the Lord intended for us to see when we look at His Word, was to see Jesus. And most especially I'm a real fan of the Apostle Paul and his writings, his epistles. And I mean, he is so into Jesus. He just so points to Jesus. He just so uplifts and exalts the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just spent much of his ministry trying to get people to see Jesus. You're looking for religion? Look to Jesus. You're looking for God? Look to Jesus. You need help? Look to Jesus. Amen. And I want to exalt Jesus today as we move along with our Mother's Day sermon. Maybe if I get my notes out, I'll know where I'm at. My dad always he liked preachers that didn't use notes. He says they need to have it in their heart and just let it fly out of their mouth. But notes are real good for my memory. And I just appreciate the opportunity to use notes. You might notice, was it last Sunday's bulletin when Becky talked about Mother's Day? I haven't even looked at today's bulletin yet. But last Sunday, you had the little article in the bottom of the second page? And it mentioned that Mother's Day is not necessarily happy for everybody. I've thought a lot about that since I read it a few days ago. And you know, I have a really good mother, very sweet mother, a good mother, godly mother. She's 90 years old plus. And Lord willing, in about 2 weeks, I'll be going to her in New Mexico and loading up her and all of her stuff and moving her to our place here in Arizona. So you'll get to see my mom. And in a short time, we'll be able to have her with us some. My sister and I be sharing her care from Sierra Vista to here. But she's going to be headquartering at what we call our apartment, a little room I built on my shop out at the house. And so we're excited about Mom coming and being a part of our lives in a more touchable way. And by the way, speaking of my mother, please tell her when you see her that you'd like to confirm the fact that I wore suit coat and tie on Mother's Day. She's old school all the way, and she doesn't believe a preacher should be behind a pulpit without shirt and tie, or at least, or, you know, even better than that, suit up, you know. That's where she's at. And I try to tell her, Mom, the anointing can still flow through me without the necktie. But she doesn't believe that. So when you see her, tell her that her son wore a necktie and a suit jacket on Mother's Day in her honor. Okay? She'll be proud of me that way. Amen. And starting in Ephesians 6, first three verses, it's a very familiar passage. We use it many times for many things. But Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. It makes me want to stop and preach as I think about that. It's like, children, obey your parents. How many are parents? Yeah. And so you think children should obey your parents, right? It's good. It also says in the Lord. So this would include your spiritual parents. You know, we all have spiritual parents. And then he goes on to say, this is good. This is right. Why would he have to tell us that? Are we that? Duh. Are we that thick? That we have to be reminded that it's right to obey our parents? Maybe so. It's there. And so I'm taking this as something that the Apostle Paul was making an impact with. Hey, it's right to obey your parents. Oh, I have a good reason now. It's right. Not just traditional. Then he goes on in verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so we're honoring mothers today, and therefore we are adhering to a commandment with promise. Verse 3 tells us what the promise is, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So honoring mom today is going to help us live longer and bring things our way to help things go well for us. How many need some go well with, you know, I'd like things to go well with me, wouldn't you? Amen. I want things to go well. And so, you know, that we want to step off into this message with this, that our focus today not only is Jesus, but it's doing what he says and honoring our father and our mother. And in this case, specifically the mothers, because of the day. We'll have a Father's Day here in a few weeks, and we get to, you know, it'll be our turn for the girls to wear a tie. If you haven't called your mom yet today, if you can, do so immediately after the service. It's better if you wait till after the service. Now that you're here, just know that you're reminded. But before I get any deeper into Mother's Day, I want to read something that we got from Lance Wanall. Lance Wanall is a inspirational speaker for huge businesses. He was recently paid $10,000 an hour to speak to the Chinese in China about business procedures. And so the guy's, you know, he's got it. He's noted for his wisdom in the world of business, even among the nations. But he's also an avid Bible scholar and Bible teacher, prophetic Bible teacher, and he's just got an amazing word, Lance Wanall. And we've heard him in person a couple of times at meetings, and he just, you know, different speakers will grab your attention more than others, and he's one that gets me right on the edge of my seat. But anyway, he just recently wrote up this prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, and I want to share it with you because even though it's his Mother's Day, I'm going to tie this in because this is what's happening today in our lives, including mom's life. Ready? Heaven is pressing in on the atmosphere like never before. It will be a season when things in us that need to be removed will start to show up. So let the pressure produce purging. As I read along, you're going to notice something fits your life. Maybe already. Sadly, it's also a season when hell will slander the chosen. Ever notice how when someone is slandered, it puts slime over your spirit towards that person? It affects you. Catch it when it happens and keep yourself in the love of God. And I'm going to share in brief that when my father passed away the 18th of March, all hell broke loose in my family. And we're a good, strong Christian family, have been for 60 years. And everybody's going, what's this? This should not be. This was not part of the calculation. This is not what was expected. This is not us. And it's like all hell broke loose in our family. And this dark cloud of everything evil just come flooding in when Dad passed. And we're all rejoicing because Dad was 95 years old and he was ready to go home. He suffered very little, had a few hard days in the hospital, and then he just went home. And I mean, everybody's just excited about, you know, Dad's homecoming. And things went well along that line for him, but for the rest of the family, all hell broke out. And we're going, what is this? And slander was a part of it. And there was slime all over our spirits towards one another. We're going, this is not us. Who are we looking at here? It was crazy. It was an attack from the pits of hell. All of a sudden, Dad was a man of prayer and a very vocal Christian. And it's like when he left, there was a certain amount of protection that left the family, and this little hole in the family aura, the aura of the family, or the, I don't know what else to call it, the what encircles the family and the shield of faith. All of a sudden, when Dad left, there was a little hole there, and the devil just come rushing in with junk. And we're going, wait a minute! And we went into intense spiritual warfare for several days. And so when I read this, I'm going, yeah, it does affect us. But when it happens, keep yourself in the love of God. And so all of us as a family, we keep reminding ourselves, walk in love, walk in love, walk in love. He goes on, Lance goes on to say, love attracts heaven. Slander attracts hell. How about you? Have you sensed the pressure of the accuser coming to divide people lately? That's exactly what happened in our family. The accuser came to divide. And he says, does it seem that the source of slander many times is jealousy? Jealousy was all over the place, and we're not jealous. And we're faced with it. Ugly in the face. Okay, let's move on. You must go up and go through. Go up and go through. He said, when I got this word, it was for many, not just for me. I shared it on Facebook and it went viral. Because I knew this would be our lot for the coming years, and the time has now come. In Revelation 4:1, the Bible says, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. There is a door now open in heaven. Let's go up and go through. See, in the midst of all this junk, there's a way up, which is a way out. Amen? This has felt like a season of colliding spiritual climates. A season of erratic warfare. Release, heaviness. Brilliant light followed by sudden darkness. And not just in the same day, sometimes in the same 10 minutes. Is anybody in here? While praying, my wife contacted me and said she heard the words from the Spirit, a changing of the guard. I'm not sure what all this means to you, but the atmosphere has shifted and the angelic realm is upgrading all around you. I sense the Lord saying to us, I'm going before you. There's been a distinct advance and change of activity in the heavens. We are contending for destiny, and that individual destiny is connected to our individual position in the Spirit. More specifically, our promotions are now connected to the strength of our inner man, our capacity to go up and go through the door of transition into a new anointing and a new season of harvest. The door is open, the voice is calling, the timing is now. Go up and go through. Now you might be noticing, now I know why the devil's fighting so hard. He doesn't want us to look up and see the door that's opened in heaven that's inviting us into new revelation and new anointing and new standings in the Spirit. He doesn't want us to look up to the open door. He wants us to look around us and be consumed by the observation of what's happening to me. Mother's Day sermon? Yeah, mamas go through this. Mamas go through these things. Many times a mother will face these times before anyone else in the family faces them. Because mamas are sensitive and they're the mother hen covering all the chicks. In Revelation, when John looked up and saw the open door, it was standing open, not moving. It was in heaven, not on earth. This is a door that's made available in the spirit realm right over your existing situation. The door standing open right over the existing situation. And so if your existing situation is messing with your head, messing with your heart, messing with your life and family, look up! Amen. This is good preaching, isn't it? I see now the reason for the seemingly violent shifts of atmosphere. It's because our spirit man must grow in strength in order to access and go into this new dimension. If we are to see more heaven on earth, we must be seated in a heavenly realm. Open door in heaven, right above your existing circumstance, equals more grace and more increase. Amen. If we stay in this heavenly dimension of authority, the things that vexed us and harassed us and clung to us will begin to fall off. I want to be in that heavenly dimension where the junk falls off. There's an anointing for upgrade upon us now. I just don't miss it. Previous performance won't disqualify you. You might say, oh, I'm all for the new anointing. I'm all for the looking up and going through. I'm all for an increase in good and a decrease in bad. But, oh, you don't know my past. I have failed and I have failed and I have failed. Well, the Spirit of the Lord, through this prophet, is saying your past performance will not disqualify you. It's what you do now that matters, not what you did then. Come on, guys. This is good. Heaven is calling you into a closer intimacy with the Lord, a more glorious obsession with the Godhead, and this is the secret to overcoming life. This means less of all the weights and restrictions that held you down in your last season of wrestling. No one can do your work for you. But you do not need to ascend alone. In fact, if you go up with the right people, you create a habitation, a container, if you will, to the host of God's presence in the earth. So let's go up and let's go through together. Lance Winall. I have watched my mother since childhood take our family through hell on earth. I can remember as a very small boy, my mom crying out to God in the middle of the night for her family. I mean, seeking God with all of her heart. I can remember her praying in the spirit in the wee hours of the morning and in the depths of the dark of night. And she's praying and interceding and pleading for God to move in her family and to protect her family and to clean up the mess and to fix the situation and to change things for the good. Praise God for praying mothers. I just happen to believe that there's a special power in the prayers of a mother. And I got to go on. Got to go on. Go up and go through. I praise God for my praying mother. I need my praying mother. Mothers, you are needed in your family. You are needed in the family of God. Mothers, we need you. We need your prayers. We need your faith. We need your encouragement. We need your love and your hug and your smiley face. Amen. Mother's Day first came into being in 1914. Yes, that is before I was born. 104 years ago, Mother's Day was officially set in motion by our president at that time. And it would be the second Sunday of May every year. And we have it now, second Sunday of May. Now you have your history lesson for the day. And in Genesis chapter 3, I want to read something. And we're going to look at the scriptures at some of the mothers in the Bible and what they represented, what they stood for, how they took care of business, of raising their families. Are you with me? Genesis 3:20. And Adam, everybody remembers Adam. Boy, you're old. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So you could truthfully say Eve was my mother, grandmother, grand, you know. Amen? Sometimes we read these things and we think, that is so far back. How could it still work today? Well, we're still humans today, aren't we? And we all came from Adam and Eve. So she is our mother, and to be honored. Speaking of this time thing, let me just share something with you, time. Now, we've got, how many guys we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 men in here. My dad was 95 when he passed, so he almost made the 100 mark in that sense. Let's say you, us 12 guys, all live 95 individual years, individual lifespans. That's nearly 1,200 years just among us. And if we could bring 8 more guys in, go across the street to the Nazarene brothers and borrow 8 of their guys, we could line up 20 men here, each one representing a lifetime of 95 years or 100 years. And we would have 2,000 years. So we go from today all the way back to Jesus with just 20 guys. With only 20 lifetimes, we can go back to Jesus. It may not be as far back as you think. It's all how you look at it. I don't look at it when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee as 2,000 years ago. I look at it as 20 lifetimes ago. And I have my lifetime, my dad's lifetime, my grandfather's lifetime. So I got 3 out of the 20 that I can remember. All of a sudden, time's concentrating, getting shorter. I've got 3 of the 20 to get back to Jesus. You never thought of that, huh? Mitch is going, this is not the arithmetic they taught me. Let's go on. Mother of all living, praise God for our mother Eve. Now in Genesis 17, Genesis 17, verse 15 and 16, Abraham and Sarah. I don't know how many sermons I've heard and even preached myself about Abraham. Abraham is our father in the faith, and we get all excited about Abraham. Man, he just did all this cool stuff. Don't you love the stories of Abraham? Well, he had a wife named Sarah that needs to be honored today. Are you ready? Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. She got a name change. And her name, Sarah, means, anybody know what it means? You need to get a Bible like mine. It tells you in the center column what her name means. Princess. Your spiritual mother of faith, Sarah, Her name is Princess. One of my grandmothers was a princess, Mitch. They're all queens, but she was a princess. And when she got this name changed, she's 90 years old and her husband's 100, and she got this promise from God that she would return in time to the time of where a lady could be conceive a child. And she became, from 90 years old, she became a princess young enough to conceive, and she had a baby. Whoa! How cool is that? Not only does Abraham get all this credit for fulfilling the promise of God and bringing forth Isaac and eventually Israel and eventually Sarah, the princess, had a big part to play in this. Our mothers have a big part to play in our lives. Number 16 verse. The Lord says, I'll bless her, and I'll give you a son by her. And then I'll bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. And kings of people shall be from her. Now, I don't have it up on the screen, but the next verse says, Abraham fell on his face and laughed, said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And the story goes on. Sarah, the princess, had a baby at 90 years old. You see, God saw her young when he changed her name. He says, Sarah, I know Abraham thinks you're his queen, but we're changing your name to princess, and you're going to have a baby. Oh, that's got to be special to somebody. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read you a Bible story. I like reading the opportunity to read Bible stories because sometimes you're not reading them at home like you should. And you need to hear these Bible stories. That was just a general statement. I'm not picking someone out. I don't read enough Bible stories myself. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 8. And we're going to read a while. So get ready for the, it's like a bedtime story, but don't go to sleep. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. You know, preachers are like that. Once you feed them, every time they go by, they're going to want to stop and eat. Number 9, she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it would be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there, stay all night. Number 11, it happened one day that he came and there turned into the upper room and he lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And Elijah says to his servant, he says to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? You want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. Everything's cool. I don't need anything. Number 14. So he said, what then to be done for her? Gehazi the servant answers, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived, bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that the child, went out to his father, to the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. So he says to the servant, carry him to his mother. Verse 20. When he had taken him and brought him to the mother, to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon, and he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door on him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he says, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath." She said, "It is well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward and do not slack your pace for me unless I tell you to." So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now, as she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone. Her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." 28. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose up and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." 32. When Elisha came to the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. And again he went up and stretched himself out on him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground, and then she picked up her son and went out. Dead baby. Faith mother. It would take a lot of faith and courage when someone asks, "How is your child?" and you know he's laying dead on the bed. Take a lot of faith and courage to say, "It is well. It is well. It is well." I want to honor you, mothers of faith. You pick up the phone. Yeah. He's doing good. Yeah, she's all right. No, he's really having a hard time. Please pray for him. He's in a mess. Yeah, hopefully when he gets out of jail, we can get something done with his life. He just needs so much help. That's a good time to start saying, "It is well." God's working on his behalf. It is well. We're praying for him and God answers prayer. It is well. It may not look well, but by faith it is well. And I'm going to say it's well, and I'm going to pray it's well, and I'm going to prophesy it's well until I see it well. Thank you, mothers of faith, for praying for me and the other sons of this church. Thank you for praying for your families, for your spouses. Thank you, mothers of faith. We need that kind of faith in our mothers. The ones that against all odds, against every evil and negative circumstance, they'll say, "It is well." Someone might say, "How can you say that?" It's well because I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's going to take care of everything. Isn't that sweet? Everybody say, "It is well." Luke chapter 18. Mothers of faith. Praise God for faith coming out of the mouth of our mother. Mothers that believe in their children will see results. I'm not saying it's going to be overnight, but mothers don't give up. Mothers don't give up. If they have to wait 30, 40 years, they don't give up. They keep saying it is well in Jesus' name until it is well. They don't give up. Did you find Luke 18? I'm still looking for it. Am I ready yet? First five verses. 18 keeps hiding from me. It's something to do with this new Bible and the pages sticking together, I think. Okay. Are we ready? First five verses. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So what is Jesus' theme here? What is his theme in the parable he's about to give? Pray and don't lose heart. Pray and don't lose heart, right? This is the message. Now, he's about to give a parable about a woman. He's saying here in verse 1 that men should, you know, that's everybody, should pray and not lose heart. And then he goes on in verse 2 saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. For verse 4. He would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow, this mother, troubles me, I'm going to avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm going to go on a little bit. It may not be on the board. Just listen. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Here comes this mother, calls her a widow. I'm calling her a mother. For lack of understanding, for lack of better information, we'll just call her mother. She's wanting justice from a judge that doesn't even know God. From a judge that doesn't even care about her or her family or her need or her son or whoever she's advocating for. He could care less. And I'm going to bug this judge till we get what we need. Only a mother would have that kind of tenacity. What are you doing today, honey? What are you going to do? I'm going to go down and bug that judge. Honey, he's going to throw you in jail. I don't care. I'm going to bug him from the jail. Well, honey, you've already told him 9 times what you want. Well, he hadn't done it yet. I'm going to go bug that judge. Well, judge's wife is enough to realize she's got the attitude of a mother. She's not going to quit till I do something. I'm tired of being tired of this woman. I'm going to fix this for her so she won't come back. Mothers, that's who you are. In behalf of your babies, your children, you're going to bug the judge till he does something. Because you care about your offspring. You care about those children. Huh? I'm not a mother, so I don't know how you feel, but I almost do. Because I know the tenacity of a God-fearing, praying mother that won't give up on her babies. Maybe we ought to look at Matthew 15. Starting at verse 21. This has got to be my favorite one. Then Jesus went out from there. Are we ready? Yeah. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan, Now, women of Canaan are not women of Israel. Women of Canaan are with on the heathen side of things, okay? A woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now remember, this woman's from Canaan. She's from the heathen side of things. The Israelites weren't supposed to have anything to do with them, and vice versa. There was, as there is in this same day and time, there was animosity and a border between them. Verse 25, she came and worshiped him, worshiped Jesus, said, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." He answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." I mean, this is pretty blunt. He's saying, "Woman, I'm here to minister to the people of Israel, and you're not even close to qualifying for my ministry. I wasn't sent by God to minister to you. That'll come later through the Apostle Paul." Well, he didn't go that far, but he said, "Lady, you don't qualify. Get out of my hair." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Did you know just one crumb can chase the demon out of your daughter? Verse 28, Jesus answered and said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Mothers of faith, don't give up when pleading for help for your children. The Lord will honor you for your tenacity. He'll honor you for your pleading. He'll honor you for your faith. He'll honor you even if you, as this woman, didn't qualify to sit under the feet of Jesus and in his ministry. He'll honor you whether you qualify or not if you won't give up. He honors and respects faith and tenacity and a well-made-up mind. Even in that day when there was such a separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, and even so much more today when that wall of partition is broken down and the gospel is for every person and every nation and every people on the face of the earth, how much more now will he honor the tenacity of our mothers and the faith of our mothers and say, "It is well, and Lord, I'm going to bother you like that woman bothered the judge until I see results. All due respect, sir. I love you and I disobey you, obey you in every way, but I'm just going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on until I get what I need." He told his people, his disciples, in another teaching, he said, "Those that ask and keep on asking will receive. Those that knock and keep on knocking, it'll be open to them." Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for the mothers of faith that you've blessed this church with. I want to thank you, Lord, that they speak faith and believe faith and pray faith. I thank you, Lord, that that faith produces results, and that we are all living evidence to the faith that has been put out there in prayer by our mothers, our physical mothers and our spiritual mothers, our church mothers. Lord, I want to thank you today. I honor the mothers, Lord, that you have sent into this church. I honor the mothers that you've sent into my life. Lord, I bless you and I thank you so much for the godly mothers that help us see things through to victory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want to take this opportunity to pray for each and every mother that's in this place. And after you've been prayed for, I want you to come over here and pick out a flower that you like and take it home with you. Would you do that? Is a mother willing to do that here today? Any mothers willing? Yeah. Now, these flowers are really dry. You're going to need to water them when you get them home. But I would just request at this point for all the mothers to come up and allow me and Barbara to pray for you. And then after you've been prayed for, Barbara will start on this side over here. And that way they can, when they finish the prayer, they can go pick up their gift and return to their seat. Amen. Yeah, just push that out of the way if you would there. He makes a good usher, doesn't he? He's a good preacher, good musician, good usher. He's just a jack of all trades. Hey, amen, amen. Yeah. Yeah, look at all these precious mothers. Yeah. How many mothers we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 mothers. 10 mothers. Are you guys, girls, ready? Do you got any Mother's Day music up there? First of all, I want to say to all these mothers, all 10 of you, I love you dearly. I just love you dearly. You guys are a bright spot in my life. Every one of you is just a bright spot in my life. You make it worth coming to church. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. You men out there, help me by extending your faith and your hands this way. Father, in Jesus' name. But yeah, a couple of you guys that feel real strong, stand behind one in case the Spirit of the Lord takes them. We want somebody to be there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every prayer of faith, every prayer of faith shall come to pass. Every prayer of faith shall come to pass. In Jesus' name. God will answer the prayers of faith. God has not forgotten you. Oh, He is on your case, taking care of business. Oh, Lama Shahatana Makabachat. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can go right in the seat there. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for motherhood. Thank you, Lord, for making life better with the mothers you send us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the mothers, raising children to the glory of God. Mothers standing in the gap for their families. Mothers who believe God for the needs of their family. Mothers of faith and strength and tenacity. Mothers of faith in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good things. 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 Lord, I thank you that you hear prayer. I thank you, Lord, that you hear individual prayer. Each person praying as they individually know how to pray. Lord, you are in touch with the prayer of the individual. Lord, even the desire, sometimes the desire of the heart that you put there rises up as a prayer. It may not sound religious or be religious, Lord, but the desires of a mother rise up as prayers towards you, Lord. And Lord, as they put their heart towards you saying, Lord, I need your help in this, that you do what the children are needful for. Lord, you take care of those needs. You meet those needs. In Jesus' name, miracles, miracles in the family. Miracles in the family. Miracles in the family. In Jesus' name. 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 I hear this for several mothers here, and specifically I heard it for Rosie, but it's for every mother that's going to be in what I'm talking about here. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I don't move in time, nor do I need time. And when you pray in faith, I'm on it, and I'm taking care of it, and it's as good as done. And he says, don't worry about the time. Don't be concerned about the timing of what you see, the timing of the miracle you want to see. Don't worry about the time. Just consider it done, because I'm on it and I'll finish it. So don't sweat the time. Just rejoice in the fact that it is a done deal because of your faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heart's desires. Heart's desires. The Lord blesses us with heart's desire fulfilled. Heart's desire fulfilled. Heart's desires fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the spirit of thankfulness rise in you today. All of us have mothers. Even these mothers up here have mothers. And just let the heartfelt thankfulness to God rise in your heart, being thankful for your mothers. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Lord, that they might know how to raise those children. Even those children 30, 40 years old that still need raising, still need help. Lord, that these mothers will know how to raise those children. They'll know how to continue to stand in faith and minister to those children. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's an old saying, a man's work's from sun to sun and a woman's work is never done. And that's where you are, mothers, in the spirit. A man's work from sun to sun, but the mother's work, the mother's prayer is never done. Your prayers that are, even though they're not coming out of your mouth 24/7, they're coming out of your heart 24/7. And God hears and knows the prayers that you pray for your family. And in that sense, your prayer is never done. Your prayer is always before God. There's never a moment, never a second when your prayer is not being heard by God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are there any mothers upstairs? Go bring them down. They can close things up there and come down. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the mothers, Lord. We bless the mothers in Jesus' name. We bless their faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of our mothers. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Good things, because it is well. Good things, because God answers prayer. Good things. Good things. Good things. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Whenever Barbara finishes praying, I'd like for you mothers that are in the line to pray for my wife, Barbara, and for Sharon and any other mothers that might be upstairs. I'd like for you ladies to pray with us for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sharon and Barbara, you're the only two left. I'd like for the other mothers to come pray for Barbara and Sharon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for faithfulness, steadfastness. Never give up, never give up, never give up. I thank you, Lord, that these mothers represent faith and hope and love, these things that remain. These mothers represent the eternal. These mothers represent answers from God. They represent the process of prayer from the first petition till the final release of the blessing and supply. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing miracles, miracles, miracles. Miracles, miracles, miracles. In Jesus' name, miracles, miracles, miracles. Let's give our mothers a hand, will you? God bless our mothers. Thank you, Lord. God bless our mothers. Amen. Well, have you been blessed today? I have been blessed. You have been blessed. We have been blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to have a really good rest of the day. Will you do that for us? And remember, call mom if you haven't already. You might say, well, my mom's already in heaven. Well, pray and say, Lord, tell mom that I love her. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for your participation in this beautiful Mother's Day. Bless you richly in Jesus' name.